Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here are your hosts of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Holsinger, Dr. Payray, and Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. We are still live from the Hinman Dental Meeting, day two. And it is my absolute privilege to have, one, my dad joining us. That's kind of fun. Yes. With Samen. And then even better than that, the Dr. Gordon Christensen. Doc, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
My pleasure.
I tell you what, I was telling him, I was like, I feel like you're kind of like on the Mount Rushmore of restorative dentistry for us.
Super excited to have you. Thank you so much for the time.
Doc, tell us a little bit about, we don't have much time, so I want to kind of jump into some stuff. Tell us about your journey a little bit to where, what got you into restorative dentistry and diving into the research and the materials like you have, and just give us a little bit of a brief on that, if you will.
I'll start with the present. Okay. Last year, we evaluated 717 new products, devices, concepts, techniques, and only one out of five met their claims. Wow. Now, that's pretty pathetic. Yeah. So when you guys are looking at whatever, Dental Products Report or any other publication that's out there, you got to read through the lines, because every dentist, the mature dentist, would have a closet with miscellaneous junk they bought over many, many years, much of which doesn't even work, much of which they've spent thousands of dollars on. So our group has been around 42 years now. In those 42 years, we've seen virtually thousands of products. What got me into it was just exactly that. As a young dentist many years ago, I didn't know what to buy.
Sure, yeah.
Had no idea, because the schools you attended will get the products and get cheapest that are popular.
Financial partnerships.
They'll bargain. They'll go to this company, that company. We can get this for 68 cents a cc. This one's going to give me 40. I'm going 40. And that's what you do when you get out of school. You go with the low budget. And is it best? Sometimes. Is it worse? Often.
I thought Aesthetics was the only composite that was out there when I graduated. And I come into practice and I'm like, it's a myriad of options.
So that got me interested. I was then an academic. I'd been an academic 15 years. I've been everything from an instructor to a dean. And so I've had a lot of academic experience. And I was told when we started Clinician's Report that we'd fail within 6 weeks. It's now 42 years later, which says there's still a dire need for evaluation of products. We have a team of 50, and those 50 people are scientists of almost any sort you could imagine, and they are secretaries, support people. We have 450 evaluators in the field who are practicing dentists. They're real world. So you can break or crush or dissolve something and you get some idea, but then it's got to go in the real test lab. It's right there. There's the test lab. That's in vivo research. We have an in vivo section. We have an in vitro section. And I can't believe the in vitro section, because often it's diametrically opposed to the in vivo. So when you guys read an article in a journal, it's almost always in vitro. Why? Because that faculty member is trying to jump from assistant to associate professor, associate to full. What are they going to do? They're going to do in vitro. Could do it in 15 minutes. Go crush something, get a number, publish it. If they're in vivo, we have projects going now as long as 14 years. You can't get a publication going 14 years and be an instructor. You'll go bankrupt. So basically, I got into it because of severe frustration of not being able to know what to use. And now I know very thoroughly that much of the advertisements, you walk around this room, as much as I love Hinman or any meeting, and you'll find, well, one out of five, I already said it, is going to really have supported their claims.
So, Dad, you and Payman jump in here, because I know you'll have questions as well.
Yeah. I want to know, what is some of the things about young dentists and what do you see as struggle?
What do you see that maybe the new challenges are with dentists coming out?
I'm just finishing a paper right now for dental economics. I'm in there every month, as some of you know. I'm sorry, this one's for Dentaltown. And part of it's on millennials. And so I had to get myself geared up to not only what I knew, but what's being...
Generation.
I do have a PhD in psychology, so I got a little background on it. And who are you? You're people who are very interested. You're people who are brighter than the geezers like you and me. they really are. You're half female now, not you, but the
generation.
The generation is half female in our hands-on courses in Utah. By the way, go to pccdental.com. pccdental.com. You'll see all of our courses. And about half of our courses are filled now with millennials. Half of them. And females. And this course, I just gave three, and there would be not even a half dozen out of hundreds in the course. So these kinds of courses, you millennials need to start going to them. Because
exactly.
A lot of the stuff on the internet, where does it come from? It comes from this dang iPhone. Somebody will go out there
and do
some Mickey Mouse picture, dream something, and that's what you're hearing.
Well, and what you touched on earlier, too, there's no basis of longevity with a lot of the research and stuff.
Right.
We were down there at the Picos Institute. Dr. Picos was talking about that. He goes, I have 20-year, 30-year follow-ups and stuff.
Oh,
versus, you know, what you see on Facebook, they've done it for, you know, it's been there for a month.
Yeah, all my implants look wonderful when I put them in.
In fact, there's one series on the internet right now, I won't name it, where it's a surgeon, and all he does is show the surgery. Anybody can hack on the meat. You've got to heal the meat.
And,
It takes some time to do that. The millennial people are interested in civic stuff. I'm on the positive now. They're very bright. They want to help other people, but they want $300,000 a year to start.
And we want it now.
They want it now. They want a vacation. They want coffee breaks. They want benefits. They don't want to piddle around with hiring and firing. So it's a different orientation. I'm a lot older than you, but in my generation, it was truly a profession. What is the definition of a profession? It's a self-governing body, which is what we're seeing here, a self-governing body. We used to be a true profession with a little business. And what has happened is not the millennials' fault. Now we're a business with a little profession. So we totally switched. And in switching, it's made it very hard because now it's a job more than a profession.
Well, and I think one of the problems too is we have an older generation that stopped investing in continuing education. They stopped investing in their practices and they start to kind of decline.
Oh, yeah.
Which then makes their practices not attractable. They can't hire an associate. I feel like we've lost that sort of mentorship
no
in the practice.
No question at all. Study clubs are so critical.
Powerful,
study
yes.
clubs where you're actually doing something.
Hands on.
All of our courses in Utah are hands on.
What do you see in dental schools that are not being taught
everything?
Like it used to be? Like as far as...
Should we be focusing
right,
more?
Where do they need to focus? Because out of school, we feel like I don't know anything.
Here's the challenge. The typical instructor, and I've been everything, instructor dean, and what does a normal faculty member want to do? They want to promote. Because you don't get much salary in a dental school. You get to live. So they're going to do in vitro, in vitro, in vitro. And what do you become? Secondary. So you get a big state university, and I have no reservation in saying their main emphasis for most of the faculty, and I've dealt with them, I've been there, is get the research done so I can get the associate
right.
to the full and whatever. So what
That's
happens
a challenge.
To you?
We get left behind.
You're
we
dead meat.
Yeah.
Right. So what do we do?
Some of the new schools that are, and this is going to be diametrically opposed to what I originally thought. Some of the new schools that are not fully into the academic mode, I could name a number. We've got one in Utah, Rosemont, and a lot of part-time people. You learn more from the part-time, I think.
Than you do, right? Yeah,
yes.
we do.
Yes.
Right on. So you go to one of those schools, you're learning a lot of techniques. I'm seeing some kids getting out of school now, having done a half a dozen crowns, watched the denture, done a few composites, and they're dentists.
Watched the denture.
So basically what we need to do is get more hands-on in the school. We need to get more full-time faculty.
Well, part of that too, what we noticed a lot of at Tennessee was having all the specialty programs is great, but then what happens?
they all suck
that gets
all
cherry picked up. Yeah. So then the only molar root canal I ever do is a plastic tooth.
There are schools that don't have a graduate program, and my son-in-law went to one of those. He went to Creighton, and he learned how to do implants. This is years ago. He learned how to do third molar extraction.
In the general residency.
As a typical
dental undergraduate. Yeah,
that's unbelievable. Yeah.
So
good for them.
I understand it. I've been hard on education. If some of you educators are watching, let's be good to you for a minute. There are almost 140 procedures in dentistry now. When you and I went to school, what did you have? Black filling, white filling, gold filling, jerk teeth, new denture. You had just a few
things. That's true.
Now you got 140. Have you seen the Sarek? There's one over there. You got a comb being? I think they got one. And what do you know about it?
How to
spell it?
Do all that
how to spell
in 4 years.
That's about all you see.
Talk about that, picking up Sarek and comb being. Sully's come on practice with me. He's a full partner. He's been there throughout 3 years.
Yeah.
We've doubled our practice.
Yeah.
We're two Sarek units. 2 million units.
The technology, investing in the technology.
Implants.
Yeah.
But I've let him go and run, and I'm keeping up with him.
Yeah.
And it's been a ball.
Yeah.
But talk to the millennials a little bit about how important getting that CE. Between these two guys right here, Payment and Sully, you're probably looking at 1,500 hours of CE in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Easy.
Formal continuing education. Courses that actually have you use your hands
wrong. Yeah.
I know millennials are interested in that. We've polled millennials. They want podcasts and they want
hands-on. Live surgery.
They don't want to go to a course, which all of us have been to. You sit there 2 days, you got one word on the piece of paper, and you say, I can't do that either, because they want $200,000 for me to do it. You want to go to courses that are pragmatic. I just gave three of them, where we look very seriously at, there are 33 technologies. You need about a half dozen of them, and the rest of them are fluff. And to learn how to use them, you've then got to actually use them. You have to do something to learn it. You don't just think about it, talk about it.
And on that same line, speak to the young guys about how important it is to invest in yourself. A lot of times, I can't afford to go to this course.
That seems to be a common complaint, is we got all these loans,
and most of these,
they're doing it, and they don't invest in themselves.
Sully and I, we're finishing up the Michael Picos Continuum in Tampa with sinus lifts, implants, bone grafting. Is it expensive? Yes.
Yeah.
Has that money paid off
absolutely
in spades in the months we've been back?
Absolutely.
Patients
want to come to somebody who's up to date.
Oh, no question.
You don't have to have a multi-million dollar office, but they want to see things in there that are new, things they've heard about, white crowns. They want to see radiographs that go like that. They want to see...
Patients are more educated now than ever.
Oh, they'll go on the internet and find out all about you.
They seek us out because of CEREC every day.
Yeah, no, right on. Yeah, the one-day dentistry. The millennials have an enormous opportunity if they'll get some formal, hands-on education. The schools are doing their best. There are too many things to teach. So when you get out of a typical dental school now, you're just through kindergarten.
Exactly.
Do you feel like, one thing I see a lot of times, and I was a little bit of, I think I fell under this trap a little bit, is when I graduated, what did I want to go do? I wanted to go do implants and the specialty procedures, right? And like, I barely probably know how to do a class two appropriately.
Right,
you think
there's an
issue? Like, how do you deal with that and formalizing what CE to take, because we really don't know as much.
There's certain things either one of you would like. Let's say you hate perio. Well, don't do perio for a while. You may find it was the dork teaching perio that you didn't like. And that's very common. So don't go there for a while. Maybe you're good in crown and bridge. Be the best crown and bridge dude in the town.
So find what you
like and get deeper into that. And then once you feel satisfied there, now jump into perio that you hated. Yeah. Some don't like to do endo. I've got two dentist sons. One of them hates perio, and he hates endo. What does he want to do? Crown and bridge.
That's fine.
The other one will do everything from brain surgery to circumcision. You know, and it depends on who they are. And
what made you decide pros? If you don't mind me asking, we had a lot of prosodontists on the show, so I'd love to know your input.
During dental school, I thought I want to be an orthodontist. I don't like pimply kids. Well, I'm not an oral surgeon. I hate hospitals. Okay. How about pedo? Ooh, I'm not that dumb. So then I decided, okay, I like to do everything. I was in the military for a while, and I like all of it. So I thought, what can they do to do all of it? Cross. Because often when they refer, they don't want them back. They're either suing you or something else, and you do everything. I literally do everything.
Man.
And now that's legal. And see, it wasn't when I first got out of graduate school. Now specialists can do all of the dentistry if they want to. Yeah, process is broad. And listen to this. About 40% of a general dentist's income, 20 crowns a month is average. That's about, well, you figure it out. 20 crowns a month, that's $25,000, $30,000. And that's about 40% of your income. 20% is endo. Those two alone, you're 60% of your revenue. Put implants on top of that. All this stuff is within PROS. PROS is wide open. It's just another level of general.
Well, and I think part of it, we've done a bad job in educate, and not to get in the hate on education as much as but the dental schools. But you know what we kind of joked about is PROS dying? Is PROS gonna be around? And PROS, not at all. You know,
PROS is 75% of dentistry right now.
It's changing so much from a standpoint of
fixed removal, implant, maxillofacial. And all the restorative that goes with it.
What do you think about, Payman was asking earlier about, or you asked the question about the smile design and all that stuff.
Right, I was going to ask you, with this digital smile design, you see the technology, how it's taking over.
Good.
People getting out of school and looking at all these fancy gadgets and technology, but not understanding the basic foundation. What do you say to them before trying out doing these fancy, good-looking stuff to do the training? What is it? Like, what are some of the CEs that once they get out of school, those are the necessary things to
They should start simple. First of all, they need to know how to do a prep, and that would be a fraction of those coming out of school. I'm not kidding.
Sure.
So they need to know how to do a prep. Now, let's start simple and get single crowns. 90% of units of crown and bridge in America are singles, 90%. And so let's learn how to do that well. Now, once you got that, let's start putting implants in. And learning how to make an abutment and a crown over it. Now you got the basis, you got the wheels, now you got to get the car. Now go back and do some anatomical orientation and figure out what the face really looks like. Should I be going into Botox? Get rid of those lines right there on me. All I need is a little Botox in there, they'd be gone. And then we're squirting Botox. So they need to learn facial anatomy. What can I do? Can I TMD with squirt and Botox? Yep, I can. Can I stop bruxism? Squirt it there. So facial anatomy, then maxillo and mandibular anatomy. And it sounds pretty pedantic. Yeah, we gotta
wrap it up.
On. It's pretty pedantic, but in the meantime, it's basic first. And then just step right on up. If you're trying to learn to do golf, you got to learn how to hold the club first. What? I would say in my hands-on courses, this is going to sound horrible, and if you're an educator, you're going to be irritated at me. Half of the people I get in the courses, I'm concerned they might hurt themselves with their own instruments, the young dentists. I'm not even kidding. We've got to get basic first and then start leaping step by step by step by step. We were on implants a minute ago in the course I was giving, and should we do guided? Or should we be freehand? Freehand first, because you got to think about it.
What happens when the guy doesn't work?
And then you've learned freehand, okay, go guide it. You've learned one implant, fine, now go four implants. So it's a slow evolution.
Doc, thank you so
thank
much
you so
for
much
joining us.
For the time.
This has been a pleasure.
Thank you.
We'll see y'all later. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.